If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the abiding presence of the One Divine. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Living Present as Presence. Living Present as Presence. So let's begin with an attunement. Just be aware of your presence right now as you're sitting or lying down, wherever you are. Sense your presence. What comes to mind when I say your presence? We've experienced the self as energy in the body, as expanded awareness, and even as spaciousness that surrounds what we think of as our localized doodad, our personal body embodiment that we tend to identify with. And if you've been exploring some of these examples that we give each week, you're probably have some idea of what I'm talking about when I say sense yourself as the energy inside your body. You can also extend that to your subtle bodies. The energy, for example, inside the mind, inside the Buddhi or the higher consciousness, the intuitive mind. The energy inside the emotional and imaginative bodies. What are those? Well, the body of imagination would be the astral body. And the body of emotions would be the causal body, which are really just slight gradations of the same plane. Just as the mental plane has the concrete, conceptual, lower mind plane, which we often call the ego mind, there's a higher level that we call the intuitive intellect or the Buddhi. And then we have the transpersonal divine levels that go into self-realization and God-realization. And just between the highest level of the intuitive mind and the pure awareness of the self-realized and God-realized states, you have an unconscious band that serves like a mirroring that reflects back to you everything that you need to confront and face and dissolve in awareness in order to pass beyond it into the genuine realms of divine realization. Now, this is where many, many practitioners of yoga and the other inner arts, meditative arts, let's call them. This is where many of them get stuck. Because just before you break through that great realm, which is called Mahasuna, or the etheric realm, or the unconscious, or the great void, there's many names for it, or the great abyss, this is a dark realm of absolute unconsciousness that tends to throw the practitioner back into the lower levels, wherein they tend to get identified and thus caught. So going through the etheric realm takes a tremendous amount of spiritual thrust, which you could call it the shamanic leap, the leap of faith, the winged heart flight, the walking into the absolute darkness, in the light of absolute confidence in one's spirit or one's spiritual preceptor or master, assuming they can get through that realm, which is not always the case. The ones that do make it through the realm are called spiritual travelers. And so to get through that realm and into the higher realms, beyond the phenomenal realms of duality and polarization, generally requires a master in the physical level that is an adept in multidimensional inner travel, which is actually an oxymoron, because when you go within, you don't travel, really, in highest truth. But you do move your inner spiritual awareness through levels, which I don't even have a word. I was going to say cognitive perception, but no, you transcend both cognition and perception, such as we know it. And the lame word that we're left with in the English language would be the exercising of ever-expanding divine awareness or presence. Presence. So let's start with a visualization, and I'm going to do one tonight to get us a little bit disengaged from seeing the self as a singular identity in a singular body, in a singular location in time-space. Let's up the ante tonight and expand into a different way of seeing the self. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And just be present here and now, calling yourself forward. In the highest level of divine attunement, and calling forward those that are the mentors and the spiritual upline for your life stream, the master teacher, the angels, those who are your personal mentors and master forms that stand with you in this progression, this journey without distance from a point that we have never, in highest truth, departed, except in a dream, from which we're now awakening. So having called yourself forward in your line of spiritual mentorship and authority, and surrounding yourself with your own protection, however you do that, some of you just go there and connect and don't have to do those other things. So you learn what works for you when you work it. Now visualize yourself as the sun, as a radiant sphere. We've all seen the orbs, and I think pretty much everyone has seen the images of the sun. So experience yourself as this great and effulgent sun. And now see yourself radiating and emanating many rays. See yourself imparting life in myriads of planetary civilization through these rays. See them as an extension. You know, the pictures of Pharaoh Akhenaten, when he was and his family were worshiping Aton, the sun. Remember how the sun's rays had little hands at the end, extending? Why don't you see yourself extending those rays of light with so many hands the end of each ray, bestowing blessings and luminosity and life force. So that you're the all-bestowing solar logos itself. You are the Helios and the Vesta that bestows life to all. And probably some of you have seen the Eastern imagery of a bodhisattva in the center tanka or painting, and little Buddhas that are emanating in rays from that central persona, whether it's a Tara manifestation of the Divine Mother or Avalokiteshvara, the aspect that is the compassionate bestower of beneficence to all beings, similar to the Hindu understanding of Mahavishnu. Imagine yourself now as a great being, a Buddha, Tara, Maitreya, Divine Mother, and see yourself sending forth many aspects of yourself that appear around you like Buddhas. At the end of each emanation, there's a manifested form, which is your own emanation. And see how you touch to myriad dimensions and worlds and galaxies and star systems in this great divine body. And now stepping it down a little more, imagine yourself as a great orb, a great oversoul orb. Immense orb that would fill the sky. And see it also emanating many rays. And each ray terminates again with a manifested soul. That is an emanation essence of that great oversoul. If you like, you could think of that great oversoul as any one of the master forms that you may be connected with. For example, Ashtar, Commander Ashtar in his higher nature, is a great oversoul that sends forth myriads of rays, as is the twin flame Athena, another great oversoul. But also know that if you follow your own spiritual line of progression through the levels of the hierarchy, you will find that you yourself are a great emanating sun, myriads of rays. You yourself are a great bodhisattva, a Buddha, a Tara, a Paramatma, a Vishnu, a great oversoul, emanating many rays. And just as the ray is not different from the body that's emanating that ray, you also are not different from the source of that radiation. So when you meditate, have fun with this particular visualization. You can adapt it and work it in many different ways so that you can expand your sense of being beyond this little doodad into the magnificence of the Paramatma that you truly are in your unadorned, unconditioned self. You are none other than the Supreme Spirit. So put yourself, if you'd like, into the form of Paramatma, universal radiance itself, cosmic radiance. And see in that emanation of Paramatma all the forms, all of the souls that ever were, in all dimensions, emanating from that one divine essence, that one presence. And you get a sense now of what we're talking about when we speak of presence, don't you? But what came to your mind when I started this seminar and mentioned presence? What does living present as presence mean to you? Do you have a sense of yourself as presence? I'm sure you could recall a time when you could sense the presence of another before they were visible, or you were asleep. You could sense a presence of your mother, your husband, or your wife coming into the room, or your child. Mothers always can sense the presence of their children. They have an umbilical cord, etheric connection to their child. You can sense the presence of anyone that you know well and love deeply. And those of you who have a master or a teacher, can feel their presence even when you can't see them. So everyone has a presence that they emanate. So let's say the presence that we're speaking of here is that subtle emanation that causes us to realize that someone is present even before they appear, and sometimes they can't appear because they're in the spirit dimensions. And there's no necessity to manifest the form except in dire necessity. Generally, masters don't waste their time manifesting a form if you can sense their essence. So let's call it their personal atmosphere, if you like, that you can identify as their essence. The question is, have you sensed and can you identify your own essence? Have you developed enough of a divine persona that you're starting to emanate presence? For example, there's another form of presence that we would notice in all famous people, movie stars, sports figures, people, the president, you know, people who have a personal presence that has been added to by the projection and thought forms of other people so that they have a certain electromagnetic aura that surrounds them. But that is generated out of the lower consciousness. Lower meaning those parts of the consciousness that are not eternal and are not self-illumining. They're not the part that's been quickened and illumined by the divine presence within, but are rather an assumed persona that has gathered an atmosphere because of projected thought forms and gathered around that person. And then there's the spiritual presence, which is, as I said, generated from the luminosity within the core essence, within your own spirit, your own luminosity radiating through the form. For example, Amma, the hugging saint. We all can sense her presence. Sai Baba, John Roger, your own spiritual master, Mother Teresa. We don't know Gandhi, but we certainly can tune into his essence, can't we? And Martin Luther King is another one. These are great souls that carried presence. So, what is the difference between the electromagnetism and the genuine spiritual presence? The body, the thoughts, and the emotional states will all pass, including your personal identity, your name, your form, your preferences, your likes and dislikes, your high self, your basic self, your conscious self, all of those parts that you've identified, most of you, with being who you are, all of that, along with the ego dramas, all disperse into their respective elements upon death. None of that remains. But what remains is your presence, your spiritual essence. Now, you could call it a soul, you could call it Atma, you could call it spirit. But I think presence is even a better term, because we can identify that right now in this dimension. So when we are identified with personal selfhood and singular ego identity, we do not generate an enduring presence. Only when we contact, connect with, and begin to live from our authentic self do we begin to generate an enduring presence. And that's why when a master leaves the illusion dream field that we call the physical dimension, they do not cease to be. In fact, you can experience their presence even stronger because you're not diluting it with misidentifying them with that little form in time and space. I certainly experienced that with Sai Baba. I have a much greater experience of him now out of the body than I did in the body, but that's not quite accurate. I feel the same. You know, after I got over the initial shock and grieving, I now experience him exactly the same as I did before. That enduring presence surrounds me. I'm in it. It's in me. I live and move and have my being in Sai Baba. I cannot even conceptualize not experiencing that. And that's my experience. Perhaps you have a similar one. So presence can be caught somewhat by keeping company with great realized beings, just like a piece of coal can catch fire if it's put next to a flaming ember long enough. But you still need to cultivate that presence by learning to live present as presence. What does that mean? It means staying aware. Staying aware. Staying aware. Staying present. Staying present. Living present. Here and now. As your authentic self. As presence. So, a master is known by the quality of his or her disciples because of that sense of that luminosity that transfers and radiates from a genuine master to their chelas. Now, what normally we identify with in the lower levels of deception, delusion, misidentification, ego drama, whatever you want to label it, is that we identify with a conceptual self, which is largely a thought-generated interpretation of life and ourself that we project outward and then relate to as if it were separate from the self, as if life existed apart and outside of one's own being. And that's the illusion, because just in the meditation, you see, we are the radiant point of emanation of a multidimensional continuum of beings that exist in every single quark of existence as holographic extensions of beingness, so that the whole is contained in the fragment. The fragment it's like taking a cup of seawater out of the ocean, but it's of the same divine essence. So your myriad extension emanations in time space are forever Paramatma. They're forever that Oversoul. They're forever that great Buddha. They're forever that great being. Even though right now you have trailed with your imagination, with your belief and your understanding of self, you've followed one little tiny ray emanation to one little form of the many forms that you have and identified yourself with that. Catch our drift here? So our life, whether we are in the daydream that we call daily life, or the night dream, which is simply an extension of the same mental states that we had in the daytime, these are conjured like so many magical mirages that arise out of the karmic traces of our past. And as we move about this imagery, we mistake the imagery for reality, and we lose present presence. In other words, the mind becomes scattered into the thought field of relating with otherness. And then you have the bondage of attachment and aversion, and that dance that goes always in step with our perception of separation. So that's the state of most people. And that's why they experience pain. In our last seminar, last week, we looked at the pain body and how our subconsciously stored past pain is what we are now having triggered in our present life when the situation of the karma ripens, so that it can come forward and be dealt with. And we can make another choice, hopefully a better one. When you look at the pain body and the situation that the pain body is presenting through its triggering in the state of awareness, you dissolve it. You dissolve the timeline, you dissolve the experience. In fact, when you're living fully present as presence, you don't have memory. I say that, out of my own experience, because it's interesting, when I'm fully present in presence, the experience itself is consummated in that moment and doesn't leave any karmic trail. And therefore, I have to go down into the mind and time travel back on the timeline if I want to recapture that memory. I can travel back in time and get the memory. But why? A clear action, really clear. When you're really clear and operating in the higher levels of God consciousness, you won't even have anything to time travel back to. There won't be any timeline at that level. You're just present as presence. So why remember? When you are remembering something, you're reforming something that's already from the past. And there you have the dilemma that we're in today, where we are actually revisiting being revisited by the karmic traces of our past actions. That's what karma is. Action, reaction, the law of reciprocity. Whatever you have set in motion through thought, word, and deed, and have identified with as being the doer, you reap the repercussions of that, whether they're positive or negative. So karma is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It just is the exact replay, energetically, and receiving of what you put out. So when you are able to stay present, as that divine presence, which is simply awareness, just non-judging, non-elaborating awareness, you dissolve that pain body and that karmic dynamic, whatever it is. When you're able to act from presence, you don't generate karma because there's no doer. There's no attachment to doing, and there's no aversion to not doing. That's that state of the soul, which is simply the state of seeing, knowing, and being, or Sat Chit Ananda, being, awareness, bliss. So we have to take our daily life as our spiritual practice. It's not sitting for a couple hours or 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 5 hours and then getting up and forgetting all about it and doing your quote real life. You so often hear people say, well, now I have to go back to the real world. But the world they are making real is the illusory world. And the world that they're leaving to go into the quote real world is actually the real world. The real world is invisible. It's presence. The real world is presence. No karmic traces, no timeline, no space definition, no limitation, no pain triggers, no pain body. It's presence. Okay, divine presence. Divine presence. A lot of you can relate to that more as a definitive for that that really can't be defined. But it is highly experiential. So again, when you're acting out of the ego identity, you are not generating an enduring presence. What you're generating is that which will leave with the body, dissolve with the body. So only when you act from genuine presence, which is another way of saying your authentic self, do you begin to live in the state of immortality. That is the state of immortality. So your present life today consists of karmic circumstances in which your present situation has been summoned by your past. You call forward. You bait your bear, so to speak. You call forward your karma. When the circumstances in which you find yourself is ripe for that confrontation, then you have to deal with it if it's present. What does that mean? It has to be cleared, balanced, forgiven, released. But you do that by seeing through it to the reality and letting go of the notion that you did it or that you have to do something with it. You don't have to do anything with your karma any more than you have to do something with your eggshells and your coffee grounds and your garbage pail. You just need to see it in the clear light of awareness. And the seeing in the light of awareness dissolves it, clears it, balances it, or forgives it, which is the definition that the Course of Miracles gives. So daily events present your personal curriculum for cultivating the luminosity of presence. Situations in your current life need to ripen to where certain karmic lessons can be presented. And that's why everything in life is right and proper and can be viewed as a means for one's own spiritual liberation. Spiritual liberation from what? The ignorance of bondage, pain, and limitation. So spiritual liberation comes through awakening divine awareness. And that's the only way we can ever stop the world and get off. So if you want to step out of the ego's drama, all you need to do is open your eyes, the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the spirit, and put that gaze of God upon the situation. Because everything in the divine presence dissolves, but consummate perfection and wholeness. So you always know when you're looking through the eyes of that presence is that you see the holiness and the wholeness of yourself and everyone. So spiritual liberation through awakened divine awareness is the one and only way to stop pain and to dissolve the pain body and thus to cease manifesting future pain. Spiritual liberation through awakening divine awareness is the only way to be truly free and to experience the peace, joy, and fulfillment of genuine presence as God consciousness. So the arena for this awakened divine awareness to be practiced is your daily life, in which you constantly monitor and stay in the balcony of your life and observe your state of consciousness. And you can do that right now. Where are you right now? If you're listening without distraction, that's you. That's presence, being present. If you're multitasking or text messaging or trying to do emails and listen at the same time, you're in samsara. You're in the scattered state of deluded mind. You're not present. If you're not present, nobody's home. You're just an ego responding, reacting to your karma. So to step beyond karma, you have to move above karma. You move above karma by moving into the state of presence or the divine observer. So you expand from your personal sense of presence to awakening presence to awakened omnipresence. And I think you best do this by scrutinizing your mind and your thoughts and your moods and your states and your beliefs and your notions, just like a research scientist examines microbes under a microscope. That's how close tolerant you become of your expression, your words, your actions, your state of being. Because when you really want to be free, you will discover the means of freeing yourself. You'll call those very things into existence by your intensity. And Baba has often said that people are not having that realization of the divine self because they lack the intensity. You really have to be intense about getting out of this very unpleasant dream, or even the very pleasant dream. You're still bound. So your karma will have ripened at some point to the point in your life to where you will start attracting spiritual practices and master teachers and that process of awakening into your life. That's going to be highlighted as what you began to draw and evoke into your experience. So, if you are one who's been led to a spiritual master and you're actively engaged in a spiritual practice, that means your karma has ripened to produce the opportunities for your awakening, and for some of you, for liberation in this very lifetime. But remember, no one keeps us bound here but our own unwillingness to transcend duality and polarization. Because you know what? Awakening requires taking full responsibility for your present state of being. Taking full responsibility for your existing experiences and your situation in life. Wow. How many people are willing to do that? Take full responsibility for their state. Because you know, the false self or ego likes to play the game of projecting the blame upon others. Yet in truth, there are no others. There's no one else out there at all. There's only the self. That is who you really are. There's only that radiance, that radiant beingness, that omnipresent presence. That's who you're going to experience yourself as. In fact, that even goes beyond experience. At some point, you have to leave your experiences aside also, because they're generated out of duality. Being transcends experience. So there is only pure awareness, Sat Chit Ananda, and everything else, without exception, is an image your ego mind has manufactured and projected. Everything, everything, everything. So in taking full responsibility for yourself, imagine this. There's no one to blame. There are no enemies, no evildoers, no bad guys at all. And likewise, no good guys. There's no guys at all out there. Only your own deluded mental projections. Or, if you want to really stretch your consciousness, consider this. You, as Paramatma, as that great Buddha, as that great Oversoul, as that great divine being, you have been everyone that ever existed. Everyone is your incarnation. From Genghis Khan to Mother Teresa, from Hitler to Christ. You own it all. If you see it, if you know about it, you be it. You've been it. This is your incarnations, all of them. In fact, it's interesting. Just go to a mall sometime and get some coffee or something and sit there and watch all the people and keep telling yourself, these are all dream figures that I've conjured and projected outside of myself. These are all images of me. These are all my own emanation projections. But don't judge it. Just hang out with that thought. Now you see why only a genuine spiritual warrior, you know, ever undertake such a serious course of self-examination and self-mastery. So are you ready to transcend your ego-encapsulated mini-me identity? Are you ready to awaken as the all that is, as all that was, as all that shall ever be? This is something that comes when it comes, you know. We just keep dissolving the pain body and exercising our awareness and shining the light upon the things that we think are separate from self. And divine realization has a way of just creeping up on you in the last time you're even thinking about it. It just, well, maybe it's different for each person. But you put yourself in a very good position when you are striving to live present as presence. You're giving yourself the best platform from which to live your life so that you can see the illusion dissolve around you. And one day you're just all-pervasive love. That's all that's left. It's just compassion. And compassion's a better word for it, because love, you know, we don't really know what that is, do we? So some of you may have done all of the FAD trainings, read all the New Age books, done the Human Potential seminars, and maybe you've been to all the modern savants and saints and sages, and maybe you've even been meditating for some time, but you feel stuck. And you know there's something more, but you know, you've run out of gurus and places to look. I would say that's a very good thing, because your karma has ripened and you are calling forth what you are now ready to receive. Because you see, as long as we think we know something, there's no room for anything else. We're too full of our own selves, you know, our own ego selves, our own answers. So the ego mind will always argue for its own limitations. And the ego, you know, is always certain. It knows everything and has nothing more it needs to learn. Typical ego. So here are some ways that you can begin to cultivate that higher awareness. Number one, begin to observe yourself in the day and work as best you can to maintain centered presence. I could define that in several ways. You could hang out in holiness. Hang out in holiness, your own holiness, and keep company with the holiness in others. Ignore the rest. And I could language it as dwelling in divinity. Dwell in your own divine essence. Stay there. Stay parked there. And then, when you have that practice down really well, and while you're practicing, you don't have to have it down really well, just observe your dreams. Because when you have a practice and it's become your nature in your physical daily life, you'll notice that it translates over into your dream time. And you go from karmic dreams where you're just like, you know, pickles and ice cream kind of dreams, which are confused and lack clarity, to where you go into a real sense of clarity. You go into that lucid dream state where you don't lose awareness. So you're looking for lucidity and clarity, whether you're in the day or the dream. And there's even a state where you go into where you're asleep, your body's asleep, but you're not. There's awareness present. And if somebody would come in and awake the body in the middle of the night, you would be in presence. You wouldn't be in, what do you want? That's deluded ego mind when you're like that. But when you awaken and the, you know, you're in presence, you're aware. The same as if you were in the day. You're the same in the dream as you are in the day. Where there's a singular presentation towards life of loving and serving and caring and whatever it is your normal spiritual hanging out in holiness self is doing, you'll notice that it's pervading, whether you're in your daily activities, your dream at night activities, or in deep sleep from which you may be subtly awakened. You still maintain that divine presence. That's your yoga. That's your practice. That's what you do. And, yeah, you meditate and you study. And hopefully you have a really good master teacher that blows, you know, that calls you out on your ego and your fantasies and your nonsense. It's everything when you've attracted such a teacher into your life. Very important. I don't think we can do really deep spiritual work without a master. So observe how you operate throughout the day. Just watch yourself. Just observe. And be aware when you totally have bought into the scenario that's erupted around you as your own karmic past. Can you maintain enough presence to be in presence, to be present without reacting? You know, you still act appropriately because you have to do your job, you have to take care of your family, you have to bring home the bacon and pay your rent, all that stuff. So this is being an urban yogi, you know, we're yogis in the traffic jam, and we're yogis in the marketplace, and we're yogis wherever we are. And our life is our yoga. It's our means of being united with the beloved. And some people are totally spaced out and they're not aware at all of their daily life. So they're not in their body. They need to get present, get grounded, find something that will bring them forward in their attention. Because you don't get any brownie points going through life spaced out and unaware, unconscious. So the karmic state is unconscious, confused, misidentifying the outer as reality, you know, all of that. And the divine state is a state of lucidity and clarity. So you go from confusion to clarity the more you hang out in centered presence. So watch your dreams. Watch your daily activity, because your day and your night are equally dreams. They're all produced out of your karmic past. They're your own universe of creation that you created, allowed, promoted, and attracted into your present awareness because you generated those momentums. So there is the state, the four states of consciousness. There's the waking state, which people really aren't awake, but they think they are. There's the dream state, where people think they're really dreaming, but they're really, really asleep in the waking and in the dreaming state. So there's the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. And then there's a higher state called the superconscious state. Now, in the superconscious state, the body may be sound asleep, but as I said, that awareness, that presence, stays present, and it's experienced as clear light. Remember, I've been saying that all form dissolves into light. Yeah, that spacious sense of light is awareness. So here are some radical, radical things to contemplate and have tea with, if you dare. These are very advanced considerations to meditate and ruminate upon, if you choose. I've been doing these, and they're pretty, pretty interesting. Number one, contemplate this. No one exists but you. Wherever you look, at whomever you look, there is only yourself that you are seeing. Number two, everything that appears in your life in waking, dreaming, and visionary state is you, yourself. Number three, every sound you hear is echoing your own voice. There is only one voice. And that is your voice. Now, that's all that's necessary. Just maintaining that awareness as you go about your daily life, trying to awaken within your dream so that you are the same in your dream as you would be in your daily life when you're in presence. So So you have presence in your daily life as your objective, and you have presence in your dream as your objective. But hold this lightly in awareness, for you need to act appropriately, you need to stay grounded, and you need to fulfill your duties in life, not be a flake. Very important to be present here and now and just cultivate that sense of expanded paramatmic presence that we've been speaking about. Just keep returning your mind to everything you see as yourself, the divine self. Just keep bringing that forward in your mind. You forget it, remind yourself. You lose awareness of it, bring the awareness back without judging, without faulting yourself. Just notice when you've drifted off and gotten misidentified in duality and bring yourself quietly back. Keep reminding yourself that all I'm seeing are my own self-generated images. There is only one divine self, and I am that. All the sounds I hear are the echoes of my own divine voice. So this is a simple but very advanced practice. But it will shift how you view yourself and everyone in your life. And also if you do the meditations of seeing yourself as that great sun emanating myriads of rays. And then you realize that you but give to yourself. And if you really realize that, think how that would shift how you're interacting and relating to others. Interesting, huh? So those are the meditations, if you choose to do them. And let's close our seminar tonight by chanting Anahi Hu. Let's take a deep breath. And we send forth light to all beings, love to all beings, peace to all beings, awakened awareness to all beings. For all beings are but the incarnations of one divine self, and I am that. Adonai.